You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for June 28th, 2019. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the 500th episode of the Cornfield Resistance, where we never terminate our text messages, it's the Professional Left with Drift Glass and Blue Gal. Repeat a few times about this being the 500th episode, probably five or six times. So just, you know, just get that out of the way.
And terminating text messages, I couldn't understand that. And what I really loved about that story was the number of people on Twitter who watched the phone in with Donald Trump with the sound off and just watched Maria Bartiromo's face fall off her head.
Yes. The resting Bartiromo face is an exciting, you know, that look we get when you get up late at night and you're half drunk and still hungover and you go to the fridge and you think there's a half a French silk pie in there and someone's just filled it with shit and you just like, oh God, what is it? And you can't, but you can't close the door for some reason because that shit is your boss.
Yeah.
So you just stand there staring at it, gaping, hoping it'll change into something that isn't shit, but it's going to be shit until it's gone. And then you go on to commercial.
Yeah.
And the shit is the commander in chief. So you can't really interrupt him and tell him to shut up that he's gone berserk and making a fool of himself because all the idiots who watch that show think he's doing a great job.
Do you agree with my colleague, Carolee, that he goes batshit on Fox and Fox Business where it's, you know, Lou Dobbs is an intellectual.
Yeah.
And then saves his sane moments for Chuck Todd, quote unquote, sane moments for Chuck Todd and other venues. Does he do this whack job? Is this a show or is this really who he
is? I think he's nuts.
Uh-huh.
I think like most of the crackpot right-wing idiots I know, there is one voice, their outside voice they use when they're among their own kind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there's a slightly different, an attempt to sound reasonable, even though the madness is just boiling right below the surface when they're in company.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a reflex they learned from being taught that you're an awful person when you start saying crazy shit out in public. In private, it's okay. So Donald Trump still has a vestigial little bit of that, but it's mostly gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's just he's just louder and more hysterical. And more really nuts. I mean, terminate the emails because the lovers struck and the lovers, they were love burning everywhere and they terminated and Mueller should be in jail for crimes. That shit is always, that's the loop in his head all day long, But before they shove him in front of a camera with Chuck Todd, somebody whacks him up with something and says, you know, just don't take it up to 11, sir. You know, Chuck Todd hates you. You know that he's the enemy. So Be on your best, you know, hold your fists up. Be on your best offense.
Show George Stephanopoulos the fabric swatches for Air Force One. Because that's very presidential.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, this is our 500th episode, and we want to thank everyone who's written and called and sent emails and so forth. We are going to play your phone calls right now, actually. The ones that said thank you and had general congratulations are right here.
Hi, this is John Burt in Corvallis, Oregon. My wife, Kathy, and I very much enjoy listening to Professional Left podcasts. Oregon isn't exactly a deep red area of the country, but sometimes we feel lonely when we notice how many people around us are still acting as though Donald is a real president. Please keep going, guys.
Howdy. This is Ray from Washington State, your bookworm. Congratulations on 500 episodes, and may 400 of the next 500 be just labors of love and not have to be a job. Thank you. Goodbye.
Hey, this is His Honor from Western Washington State. Looking forward to podcast 500. I listen usually every first thing every Saturday morning to start my weekend out on a good note. Love your show and love how you do it. Bye-bye.
There's fake news, there's corporate news, and then there's real news that you can only get from an Illinois cornfield. Bluegal, Drift Glass, keep giving us the truth with your stubborn indefatigability. Well, that's my obscure C.S. Forrester reference. Congratulations on reaching such an incredible number of podcasts. Love you. Bye-bye.
Congratulations on making it to 500 episodes. In the podcast world, so many have fallen off way before they get to such a milestone. Again, I appreciate so much what you do. Your message is it's something we all need to show that there are people out there that think like this. And I'm lucky enough to live in a blue oasis in a red sea. And it makes life so much easier to realize that there are people that think like me and make the world be a better place for all people, not just people that are like them, but for all people. And keep doing what you're doing. You made it to 500. Looking forward to still listening to you at 1,000. Bye-bye.
And we have a couple other calls that we'll be playing during the show that are more topical. But thank you, everybody who called in. Our Skype phone number is 217-280-4496.
That's my social security number. Don't do that.
No, it isn't.
Don't do that. No, it's not.
Silly
no,
man.
Not. Close. Really, one digit. What are the fucking odds of that?
And we dedicate our show to you. We dedicate our show, this show, to our wonderful listeners, our amazing supporters who've donated everything from equipment to yarn to scotch to cakes to just everything.
To building us a website.
Building
us a website. Yeah. I mean, you know, we would not have this super cool, awesome website with a merch store and the kind of highly professional presentation to the outside world were it not for our angel nerd.
That's right.
That's just the truth. We'd still be doing a podcast, but it'd be you and me on a couple of tin cans under a viaduct yelling at passersby, which would still be amusing. I would still listen to that. But thanks to all of us, all of you who lift us up every week. And my apologies to all of you who I have still not written thank you notes to I'm a terrible person.
No, you're a perfectionist and you can't do it unless you can do it perfectly. I know how that is.
I kind of am.
Driftglass, and I particularly want to thank the listener who said something about this being a labor of love and hoping that 300 out of 400 episodes will be a labor of love. I want to do better than that. I know last week was a rough week for us and we had an immediate crisis and we want to do better and not be quite so in the middle of a crisis every week, you know, the weeks that we have those crises. But you guys stepped
up. That's what the alcohol is for, Blue Gal. That's what the scotch is for. Just send us the scotch and we'll neatly divide our time between
drinking,
dealing internally with stuff that's going on at home that's making us sad or angry. And then a professional, polished public podcast,
right.
which is
a labor of love, and we love you.
It is.
So thank
it
you
is.
For
it
that.
Really, really is.
Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Driftglass, where do you want to go next on our 500th episode?
Well, I'd like to thank our many fake sponsors, not all of them, because we have literally, I went back and looked, we have dozens and dozens of fake sponsors that we just made up for fun because there's no advertising on the show. We don't advertise. We don't sell your email list to anybody.
Nope.
We don't do all the things that lots of other people do. But we do have lots of fake sponsors that we enjoy inventing for our own amusement and hopefully yours. And we have ones that you probably don't remember, like Weiner and Carper Legal Services, which is always fun. And not exactly LegalZoom, which Weiner and Carper advised us was as close as we could get without getting sued. early adopters to our podcast platform, Croc Blockers. Hey, man, don't wear those shoes. Where the Good Lord Split You, Emergency Farewell Party Planners has been our number one hit. That's the one that... we go to all the time. And of course, the classics, McGuffin's Muffins and Dukakis Khakis.
Yep.
They're not good to run in. They're
not good to run in, but they're sensible pants for senseless times.
They are. And if a gentleman wearing Dukakis khakis were to run for president this time, I would vote for him. I will vote for any sentient being on the left side of the ticket this time around. And I know you believe that, too.
Although even this week, John Delaney?
I would vote for John Delaney. I would vote for the actor playing John Delaney. I will vote for any goddamn Democrat who, let me be clear, who makes it through the primary process and becomes the nominee of the Democratic Party. I will work my ass off for them. I will vote for them. All the stuff that we say between now and the final decision, that's a family fight. Because here's the thing. The only place left in America where you can have adult conversations about real issues is the Democratic Party.
So that's correct.
So you're going to have fist fights between family members over health care and over immigration and over law enforcement and over the environment. But you're having adult conversations within the confines of one party because the other party is dead. It's just fucking dead.
And let's talk about the debates since that's sort of right at the top of the list here. Mm-hmm. I do strongly believe that whoever comes out of this process will be a better candidate for having gone through this process.
Yes.
The ideas that were expressed on the stage both nights, whoever becomes president as a result of this, whatever comes out of the Congress, these ideas about elections, these ideas about guns, these all of the healthcare ideas, the president... The Democratic president of the United States is going to work with a Democratic Congress to get these ideas passed into law.
Yes.
And so I just really want to advise everyone that when if you're fighting about issues and saying, well, so-and-so doesn't believe. Now, granted, John Delaney yesterday was pretty terrible on healthcare.
Yes, he was.
I really disagree with him.
Yes, I do.
And I don't
absolutely
believe
disagree
that he
with
should,
him.
I absolutely will not vote for him. And as a primary candidate because of his stand on healthcare.
Absolutely. Will he put kids in cages?
No.
will he pull us out of the climate change? Will he piss off NATO?
Let's talk about if a Democratic Congress and a Democratic Senate pass a healthcare bill, will he sign it?
Sure he will.
I believe he will.
He'll be so surprised and shocked that he's president of the United States. Holy shit, I'm what? I got what? I won what? He will sign anything that we put in front of him. He really will. He'll be so thrilled. He'll be the Sally Fields of inaugural address. You know, you like me.
And I love Kirsten Gillibrand talking about how decisions are made behind closed doors.
Yeah.
And it's important to have a president behind that closed door who's standing up for women's rights. She was particularly talking about. But, you know, I think you put Mazie Hirono behind a closed door with John Delaney and let her talk to him about healthcare. Yeah. She'll come out with one shoe off and a little bit of blood on the end of it, and he'll have signed the healthcare bill.
Yeah, as she walks through the door, she starts taking her earrings off. Oh, Jesus. Here we go. Secret Service is just down the hall in the bathroom washing their hands.
We don't care.
We're as shocked as you are, but, you know.
So, yes. So these ideas, don't die on the hill is what I'm saying. And don't feel like, you know, don't die on the hill of, oh, if we don't have this specific, you know, if Medicare for All isn't in place on my birthday.
Right. You know,
because everyone wants, except for John Delaney.
Yes.
God bless him.
Yes.
You know, people are moving toward universal coverage and people are moving toward single payer. Most people on that stage want to get to those points.
Yes.
And
that's the rock that Barack Obama started rolling down the hill.
Right. And it
and
is
it's
still
not going back up.
It's not going back up. Exactly. Right. Take a deep breath and we will get there. Let's get the best candidate out of this nomination process. As I've said before, our vote doesn't come till after Super Tuesday. Illinois does not vote until after Super Tuesday. I guarantee you there will be 17 fewer candidates.
Yes.
When you and I have to vote.
Yeah. And that is the way of things. Yeah. And there was no way for anyone to win a 20 person debate.
Yeah,
there were
wasn't
lots
the
of
format
ways
to, horrible?
No, it was horrible. Chuck Todd was awful. The format was horrible. They did the best they could. They being the candidates on stage. The people on the second night seem to have learned from the first night about you just have to interrupt.
Yeah, yell at them.
Just yell at them and keep at it. And just you because you're fighting for oxygen in a small room. And there was no way to win, but there were lots of ways to lose.
Well, and Joe Biden saying, oh, wait, my time is up.
Yeah. Yeah.
An admission of defeat, in my personal opinion.
This letting everyone see them on stage together, side by side, insofar as possible. I'm sorry. There is no other format where some large group of voters or supporters would not be bitching that it wasn't fair.
Right.
There just isn't. If it were a smaller group, every boutique candidate would be out there talking about being rigged. Mm-hmm. If it were everyone on stage. So this is what is meant by an embarrassment of riches. You literally have a 20-course meal and it's laid out in front of you and it's too much. Mm-hmm. It's way too much. Mm-hmm. But there's no way to make it smaller other than the winnowing process. And let's remember that it's June of 2019.
Right.
It's early. It's really early. There could be more people declaring to run for all we know.
Well, there was. So Joe Sestak declared this week.
And he did.
To everyone's surprise and disappointment.
Yeah. Joe Sestak has his own Me Too movement. It's just strictly about him being a candidate. And, you know, and good for him. I declared this week, but no one paid much attention.
Difficult for president.
and I think we need to go back into our archives, Blue Gal.
Yeah.
This is the to understand why no one listened to me when I declared for president.
Oh, okay.
This is because this is a 500th episode, and we did go into our archives just looking for stuff because we've been doing this a long time. We have a lot of episodes, and we started keeping notes. Really kind of podcast notes. You would be embarrassed to see them. The first one I found was June 2011.
I am embarrassed about earlier. I hope people don't go back to our archives and listen to shows. They're not.
Oh, no. Well, you know, they can if they want. I mean, if you have that kind of time, may I suggest making a large checkout to the professional lab.
We pay by the month extra, a little extra to Buzzsprout, our podcast host.
To keep the archives,
because they will delete them after four episodes if you don't pay for that premium service of keeping the archives.
And our first set of notes, not our first podcast, but our first set of notes was from Netroots Nation in 2011.
Oh, my gosh. The week that youngest child broke my laptop screen?
I believe, yes. That was, I'm not sure if it was the same trip where I had a spa treatment.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
You had business to attend to, so I had to. I had hotel soap and moisturizer on my face, and I had hand lotion, and I was having a full spa treatment.
The two girls were doing your nails, and you were keeping them busy while I was meeting with
them. They
can
do nothing with my hair. It's just gone.
No,
that's
hair.
A lost cause, pal.
You have John Delaney hair, actually.
I do. And the only thing keeping me from having a John Delaney face is a goatee and a beard and a mustache. Yeah. We have, and this was the convention where the Right Online convention was right next door. They were in the same hotel. This is when the Breitbart scumbags would deliberately counter program any attempt by liberals to have any conference anywhere just to show up and run through the halls calling us assholes and traitors. But of the few notes we made, I noted that there was a distinct feeling that the party had moved on, that the Netroots was now a thing of the past. There were almost no A-listers there. There were no A-list celebrities. There were no A-list candidates, almost none. There was virtually zero media. When I went to Netroots Nation in 2008 in Chicago, everybody was there. This was the 2008 election. All the major candidates were there.
Right.
There was international media. The media practically outnumbered the bloggers who were there, international media. This is the same conference. A few years later, there was no media, virtually none. The only TV camera I saw was from Fox 9.
And that was Minneapolis versus Chicago. That was a non-election year versus an election year.
Yep.
And it is a conscious decision that Netroots Nation has made to have their convention around the country so that people can attend from various parts of the country without a lot of expense. And I personally think that's a mistake from the standpoint of having a national message. They should have it in D.C. every year, or they should have something in D.C. every year. But, you know, that is kowtowing to Beltway myopia. There we go.
It's also acknowledging and recognizing that everyone who with a television camera and a newspaper lives in D.C. and New York and L.A.
Right.
And that's just reality. And that's where the centers of political power are. That's where, honestly, that's where most all the liberal podcast networks are. That's just where they go. That's where you have to live there and know those people to be, you know, networked into that group.
And there's been a number of times on our podcast where you have mentioned this, that it's Rome. You know, we have this huge center of gravity in our political discussion. And
And it looks weird from a distance and you get there and, oh, holy shit, it's corrupt.
Right. Just like Rome. Just bad. Right. Right.
Yeah. And if this were the Mensa annual gathering or if this were the Hugo Awards and they moved it all over the earth, you know, every year it's a different city. That's fine. I understand that because the goal of those conventions is not to attract national political media and make political change in the world.
But even the knitting conventions I go to sometimes, Driftglass, are in the same hotel every year because it's easier to make plans and arrangements and organize yourself that way. So,
and I also want to move on to just pulled one letter from the many, many we received. See, back in 2011, we were regularly reading letters from listeners. We had reached that point where we were getting a lot of feedback from you guys and a lot of good intel and a lot of suggestions and a lot of, why don't you talk closer to the microphone, Driftglass? So things like that. And we took a lot of that to heart and a lot of it made us laugh. But we were taking letters from readers and I pulled one out because I really want to emphasize when this letter was written. This was in December of 2011. And it's from a listener who called himself Peter Parker, and we know him, and that's his pseudonym. What we want to emphasize, what I want to emphasize is this is what we liberals out here in the middle of middle America were seeing and hearing and warning about every day, years before Donald Trump entered the picture. This is the universe that we were screaming about, warning about, setting the alarm, anything we could do to start to sound the alarm. This is the universe that we were being told by people who now call themselves never Trumpers, but back then they were just called Republicans. We were being told by these people and everyone on the Beltway media that we were crazy, that we were nuts. The Republican Party wasn't like this, that's just alarmist and foolish, and they're just a small fringe. So this is from Peter Parker. Remember, this is from December of 2011, 8 years ago. Just a quick anecdote. My dad is a diehard conservative, and it's very frustrating to argue with him. The thing is that every time he comes out with some bizarre screed like Will Ayers is Barry Obama's best bud or Acorn is a criminal organization, I have to already be familiar enough with a lie to debunk it. This is not entirely difficult since I read far too many blogs and think browsing Media Matters is fun, but often he's read something on the Drudge Report that's far below my notice, like how expensive muffins are. Remember that? While I'm too preoccupied with things that are actually, you know, relevant to the national security, I'll be blindsided with these faux stories and can only counter them with, that sounds like total horseshit. Honestly, the biggest problem is that when we really get into the nitty-gritty of the argument, deconstructing why he thinks a certain thing and why it is not true, we keep bumping up against facts. Impossible to deny real concrete facts like budget numbers or percentages or what Obama has actually done instead of what Fox News says he has done. My dad, and he is typical of all Tea Party folks in this respect, simply refuses to accept these. He doesn't reject the premise of the fact or argue with the interpretation. He says the numbers themselves are true, but their collection and framing is biased. He just straight up does not believe me. He lives in another world. This is distressing to me since he's a smart, caring man, and I love him. But the things he believes are simply lies, no way around it. And they often rely on racist premises. Really, Dad, our healthcare costs are rising because of illegals? It's not structural problems with the for-profit system? The worst part of it all is admitting that the country simply will not make any progress on these very serious issues until people like my regressive father are no longer part of the conversation.
Wow.
Period. That is what people like us were warning about and have been warning about back when we were just bloggers, back before we were bloggers. We were just liberals out there in the countryside waving our arms and screaming about this guy named Newt Gingrich and this guy named Rush Limbaugh. And Rush Limbaugh is a cancer on this country and it's growing every day. And virtually everyone who now occupies a position of privilege in the media, who has a New York Times column and is a conservative, or who has a a position out there in the world where they get invited onto panels. These are the Rick Wilsons and the Tom Nichols and the Michael Gersons and on and on and on. People who have a job, whose whole job is to be right about politics. These are the very people who were telling us to shut up and sit down because we were crazy. There was nothing wrong with the Republican Party. Everything was fine. This whole idea that the Republican Party was racist or anti-immigrant or nuts was just bullshit. And Donald Trump proved every one of those people wrong. And every one of those people got a promotion. And that's what's broken about our media, is that you cannot have this kind of conversation with people like that at the table, because they will not admit what the real problem is.
Those promoted people are now lecturing the Democratic Party to please select an appropriate, electable, middle-of-the-road white male.
It's a center-right country, Blue Gal.
To just please them so that they can vote and have their conscience cleared and know that Trump isn't real. You know, Trump isn't part. You know, isn't their party. Right.
If we don't nominate a center-right, moderate centrist, we're going to lose the vote of David Brooks. I'm just saying, we're going to lose the support of Tom Nichols. He's just going to walk away. Rick Wilson will just leave in a huff and write another book about what a bunch of shitty, shitty people the liberals are and how we have to start a third party called the Rick Wilson Party, I guess. All of these people have been wrong about everything their entire life, and really toxically wrong. These people were not wrong about the weather. They weren't wrong about crops. They were wrong about the rise of fascism in their own goddamn party. The one fucking subject they were supposed to be able to speak honestly and clearly about based on inside information. They got it wrong. And now they're turning around and have the fucking temerity to tell Democrats, well, you know, unless you nominate someone that's to my liking, I'll just have to fucking leave. And my answer is leave. Here's an idea. Leave completely. Go the fuck away. Fred Hyatt, fire Michael Gerson. You know what? The Sulzberger family, fire David Brooks and put someone, for God's sakes, in positions of authority at the pinnacle of American punditocracy who actually knows what the fuck is going on inside their own goddamn political party. The only people who were speaking truth about the Republican Party for the last 30 years was Rush Limbaugh and liberals. And that's the God's honest truth. And it sickens me that we've reached all the way to 2019 and all these people still have a place at the table, because that's the way the corporate media wants it to be.
Don't
anyway
these never Trumper Republicans get together and endorse Bill Weld?
That's a great question.
Even just Bill Weld in New Hampshire, you could humiliate Donald Trump in New Hampshire. Bill Weld is a former Massachusetts governor. He's a neighbor. He's a New Englander. He's libertarian. I didn't realize this, but he's a year older than Trump. His hair looks much better. and he speaks in coherent sentences. Right. I do not understand why, just as a tactical matter, they spend their time lecturing Democrats about selecting Joe Biden instead of trying to save their party. But I think I do know the answer to that.
Well, that's a question that everyone from Chris Hayes to Charlie Pierce to your humble co-podcaster here has been asking of people on the Twitter, because that really is the only way they'll speak to you right up until they block you repeatedly. And the answer is, fuck you, I'm not going to answer your question. And just bypass the question entirely. Mm-hmm. The answer, I think, really is, and I'd love to hear your answer, but since you asked me the question, I will answer it to the best of my ability, is that they're not stupid. They know that they are chin deep in shit. They know that they have completely fucked up. They know that their party is dead. There's nothing to – 90% of their party will support Donald Trump. And Bill Weld will be cast out. The minute Bill Weld opens his mouth and says one bad thing about Donald Trump, he will be run out of town on a rail. And they know it. Mm-hmm. They really do know their party. They're just liars. David Brooks is a liar. Tom Nichols is a liar. Rick Wilson's a liar. They fucking well know this party. They have been making money promoting the racist assholes who run their party for years. They fucking well know who the base is and what they will tolerate. They know they've lost their party. So they have to do what this mainstream media did in 2016, a variation of it, which is, what's my move after the election? What position do I want to be after the election? Well, I want to be able to sit on the sidelines and say, told you so, told you so. They want to, they're not thinking about the good of the country because these people don't give a shit about this country. Because if they did, you're right, they'd be behind Bill Weld. They'd be in their trench cleaning up their mess. They don't want to do that. They're royalty, Blue Gal. They're aristocrats. They don't want to get their hands dirty with cleaning up the mess they made. That's my job. Their job is to look over my shoulder and tell me why I'm not living up to their fucking expectations. And they will not. And they've been living a privileged life for so long. I believe it was Charlie Chaplin who said, the saddest thing I can think of is getting used to luxury. These people have gotten used to the luxury of not having to actually do anything or be productive in any way, sitting on their fat asses and opining into the air and having people scribble it down as if it's holy writ. And everything that they have said over the years has proved to be wrong. They don't know how to do anything but sit on their asses and bitch about other people's failures. They don't know how to organize campaigns. They don't know how to win campaigns. Now, I will say Rick Wilson was saying, even though he blocks me, I have my sources, saying, well, sure, I've kicked Democratic asses for 30 years, but don't listen to me. Go right ahead. Go ahead and lose. Well, yeah, you won elections by harnessing the worst, most racist, awful people in America to your party and using them as a sledgehammer. Mm-hmm. That's not an option Democrats have or want. That is who you are. So that's not a strategy you can replicate on the left because you've already cornered the market on the assholes on the right. But they're not used to doing anything but using language to explain why everyone's wrong and everyone should fucking listen to them from the sidelines and getting paid a lot of money to do it. They don't know how to do anything
else. Yeah, I would, I would say that you're right. What about you? The reason they don't do that is that they know that that's a blip on the screen of history, that they could possibly humiliate Donald Trump in New Hampshire, but what's the point? The point is, you know, you get to South Carolina, he wins. You get to anywhere south of the Mason-Dixon, he wins. You get to anywhere west of the Mississippi, he wins. The Republican Party is Trump, and they always have been. They were Trump before Trump.
Right.
So it is an admission of guilt. And I want to segue from that to the gerrymandering decision that was made by the Supreme Court that somehow, we can't get into politics. Yeah. Court can't get into politics. That's crazy talk. This is an admission by the conservatives on the court and every conservative down from there that Republicans cheat, that Republicans win elections by cheating and by racism. And that's it. So we now have a situation where the battle goes to the ground and everyone needs to follow Common Cause on Twitter. Everyone needs to keep track of what's going on in your state in terms of fair maps. Google fair maps and your state and find out what's going on. Some states, I've had a big education about this from Junior Dude because he's all over it. Some states have referendums on this sort of thing, like Ohio, and then the state legislature, which is Republican, undoes, just like they've done with Medicare expansion in other states. You know, the will of the people is has nothing to do with Republican majorities in a state house. So that's, you know, the battle continues.
No.
But Ohio had issue one on the ballot, and it passed. There are, and you have said this, I've said this, Chris Hayes has said this, Republican boots on the ground recognize they hate gerrymandering. They hate Citizens United. They want fair elections. They want it to be one person, one citizen, one vote.
Right.
They might have stupid ideas about illegals voting and a lot of other bullshit. But when it comes down to it, they don't want politicians at the state house deciding for them who their candidate's going to be and how the election's going to go. They want to have that decision. So this is a place where you can work with Republicans locally and get support and have conversations. And we have to go there. That I was grateful to see on the debates how many of the candidates recognize that the threat to our democracy is not just from Russia. It is from Republicans in the United States who do not want fair elections, who do not want fair maps. So
who know that they can't win unless
they can't win unless they cheat, and they cheat. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy Carter today. Did you see Jimmy Carter?
Carter
called Donald Trump an illegitimate president.
He did.
And
he could run.
I say he could. He's
got one good term left in him.
I said the reason that he's the first former president to call a sitting president, quote unquote, illegitimate, mm-hmm. is that Donald Trump is the first illegitimately elected president, if you don't count Bush.
Right.
And Florida. Right.
Yeah.
And the Broward County black voters who were disenfranchised after they voted. That was a real thing there. That was pretty cool how they were actually able to disenfranchise black voters after the ballots had been cast.
Well, see, Blue Gal, here's the problem. That's in the past. And the past never happened. The past is irrelevant. What really happened back then?
The left remembers.
The left remembers, Blue Gal.
The left remembers. Let's move on. I want to talk about immigration, and I don't want to cry on our 500th podcast. So I apologize. I know this has been an incredibly tough week to be watching the news at all from the standpoint of immigration. Let's play Tammy's voicemail. Tammy is our angel nerd and our fangirl and wonderful woman, and she sent us this voicemail.
This is Tammy in Austin, Texas, pro-left pod angel nerd and drift glass and blue gal fangirl. I'm calling about immigration, family, and history. I'm a third-generation American with a rare last name, which makes tracing my family easy. Family histories are the part of our stories that happen before our character enters the narrative. Talsis was a village in Transylvania and is still there in Romania. In the medieval armies of Hungary, Wallachia, and Transylvania, Talpas meant foot soldier. My paternal great-grandparents, John Talpas and Catherine Ann Martinkovich Talpas, came here in 1918. America's response to my family's arrival, and so many other Eastern and Southern Europeans and Asians, was ferocious. The Quota Act of 1921, the Immigration Act of 1924, the KKK's triumphant march on Washington, D.C. with their hoods up, showing their faces in 1925. My family has been here 100 years, and nowadays, people just see me as a little old white lady. Nobody knows what my last name means or even what country it comes from. My last name is Talpas, and we were hated by white supremacists and nativists, just like the migrants and asylum seekers at our southern border are hated today by about a third of this country, many of whom have family stories just like mine. My story is about ignorance, hypocrisy, cruelty, and my last name. Talpas means foot soldier, and that is exactly who I am. A foot soldier at war against ignorance, hypocrisy, cruelty, and at war for my country and what it must become. The professional left are my brother and sister in arms, and I literally don't know what I would do without them.
Thank you, Tammy. And I love how she connected what's going on right now and the injustice that's going on right now to her own family and to
American history,
the story of America and all of us having come here from somewhere and many of us having been discriminated against. Yeah.
This is a story that we are all living through.
Mm-hmm.
At this particular moment, we are all alive and all have some control over which direction the story goes. And we need to take control away from the people who want to steer us into darkness forever.
And let's play one more voicemail while we're at it. This one is just somebody who has a language disagreement with us. And so, and very kind. So let's listen to what he has to say.
Hey, a blue gal, A.D. Todd here out of Utah. First call, hopefully, listening to the current professional left. I understand what you're trying to say when you're talking about stealing emails. My only quibble is the same quibble as I have when people talk about stealing electronic books. Unless the place that the emails are stored is completely wiped and unrecoverable, it's not theft. It is a copy, yes. It is acquired illegally, yes, but it is not theft. We need new words in our language to describe something like this. Again, just a quibble. Keep up the good work. Keep having fun. Go postal unions. And what was that about the kitty litter? Well, I can't sing, so. Anyway, goodbye.
So, yeah, I do think we need new language for how we deal with stolen emails, quote unquote. Right. We need to understand that the laws need to be toughened and strengthened, and election year, election espionage, people need to go to prison for that.
Yes, yes, they do. Yes,
and
they do.
And that's why paper ballots and mail-in ballots is such a big deal, because mail-in ballots, anyone interferes with that, that's mail fraud, and there are prison mm-hmm. sentences for that. So that's a criminal situation. So we'll get there. We'll get there. But thank you for that phone call.
Yeah. You know what you don't go to prison for?
What?
If you and your naked wife and a pool boy decide to...
decide to meet Jesus's payroll, right?
That's right. I remember reading essays by Harlan Ellison in the 80s about Jerry Falwell and what a rotting slab of bigoted meat he mm-hmm. was, and how you'll always discover at the end of the day that whatever the hell these fake Christians, these lying, Bible-thumping scumbags are angry about and they're inveighing against, that they are themselves the most rancid examples of whatever it is they're mad about. And Jerry Falwell Jr., who inherited a bigoted segregationist university, quote-unquote, from his evil father, has really gone out of his way to be even worse than daddy mm-hmm. was. Even mm-hmm. worse. And so when he when naked pictures of his wife and a pool boy show up and himself show up, his response is, you don't know how hard it is to build a business. You never had to meet a payroll. The fact that he can continue to show up on Republican radar, the fact that Lindsey Graham mm-hmm. is not just, his tongue hasn't burst into flames by now. The fact that he hasn't been tied down in 5-point restraints and tranquilized for being clearly out of his fucking mind, just the lowest kind of spineless jellyfish, is all any sane or healthy society would need to as evidence that the party in which these people are prominent members needs to be sequestered and slowly killed off electorally. These people can never be allowed near power. These are sick, evil motherfuckers who need to be walled off and until they're small enough to be used as an object lesson to future generations of never let this happen again. Never, ever let this kind of horrible, propaganda-driven, for-profit, Fox News, hate radio, fascism grow up inside your country. Because these are the people that almost destroyed America, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. almost broke democracy. In fact, I would argue that they really have. They've already wrecked democracy. Yeah. What we're really arguing about now is
a lot of rebuilding to do.
What do we do next?
Yeah, yeah.
And we cannot rebuild as long as these people are on the sidelines lobbing Molotov cocktails at us, if they're conservatives, if they're Republicans, or bitching about how we're not pushing the broom just right, if they're never Trumpers. These people have all got to sit down for 10 or 15 years or 20 years or 30 years and shut up. The problem is, this is what we were saying 10 years ago.
Yeah. Well, Driftglass, I wanted to connect some dots here.
Sure.
In terms of this week, Donald Trump was credibly accused of sexual assault for the 22nd time.
Yep.
And the mainstream media treated it like a non-story.
Yep.
Like page 12.
Page or in the book review, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
The Dalai Lama, as I mentioned, is wanting, if there's going to be a female successor to him, you know, she's got to be attractive.
Yeah.
Jerry Falwell Jr.'s goal in life is reversing Roe v. Wade, keeping women in the kitchen. He's portraying and promoting a picture of gender relations, not to mention suppressing gay people and trans people. There is a connection between all of these stories, the suppression and denigration of women, gays, African-Americans, people of color,
mm-hmm.
migrants, all of it. And, you know, we marched in January of 2017 over this.
Yes, we did.
And saw it and saw what it was. And it's only gotten worse, but to pretend like, oh my God, who knew that this was going to be this bad, or that Donald Trump could hit a new low this week.
Everybody.
By talking about John McCain not being on greener pastures.
Literally dancing on John McCain's grave. saying that,
you know, in front of the Faith and Freedom Coalition. Yeah.
Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he? They're all scumbags together. They're all brothers of that ilk under the skin. They all have dark hearts. They all have sold their souls for various horrible reasons. They're all fascist. They're all racist. They're all scum. And so why wouldn't he share that with them? And that's the part where you're with a bunch of horrible people and one of them goes way over the line. And there's that moment where, holy shit, are we now this bad? And they're all like, well, I guess we are. And it's funny. But yeah, he said we needed 60 votes. We had 51. And sometimes we had a hard time with a couple. Fortunately, they're gone now. They've gone under greener pastures, or perhaps far less green, but they're gone. Very, very happy they're gone. This is dancing in John McCain's grave.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his daughter, I'm sure, will talk about, you know, whose whole life, I forget who said this, is now a noun, a verb, my dad.
That was Charlie Pierce.
Yeah. Way to go, Charlie. Yep. That's all she does now. And her horrible husband runs a horrible website funded by horrible people who are an insult to every single thing John McCain ever stood for.
Right. And I am sorry that Meghan McCain has a seat on a television show.
She should be in mourning.
She should be mourning her dad for 2 years, as long as she needs.
Yeah.
The display that they are putting on her, I think, is abuse.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for that. But she's right about this week, boy.
Mm-hmm.
The statement that he made, I couldn't believe that he could go lower in my estimation than he already was, but he did.
And she'll vote for him.
And she'll vote Republican. She'll vote for his party.
Sure.
Yep.
Of course she will. Of course she will. Because that's, you know, that's who these people are. And that's who they've always been. And that's what we've been saying for, frankly, far too long.
Driftglass, let's continue on with our news roundup.
Sure.
The House Oversight Committee authorized a subpoena for Kellyanne Conway after she failed to show for a hearing about her alleged violations of the Hatch Act. They should hire Josh Randall to bring her in.
Yeah, that's that's Steve McQueen from Wanted Dead or Alive, Bounty Hunter. You know, if she tries to run, I think we should put Josh Randall on her tail and bring her in. Because these criminals, they're going to run, Blue Gal. That's what they do. And what you need at this point is a bounty hunter. A good, reliable bounty hunter with a stellar record of bringing them in, strapped over a horse if necessary. But these people need to be brought to justice. As we mentioned, Donald Trump went berserk on Fox TV, accusing Bob Mueller without any evidence at all of terminating FBI communications and terminating this. That's illegal. That's a crime. And again, he wasn't 25th Amendmented. Everyone shrugged because that's who Donald Trump is. And that's who the Republican Party is now.
The Supreme Court blocked the citizenship question from being added to the 2020 census, and conservatives across the board are decrying John Roberts.
Impeach
John Roberts against the Constitution.
Because he lied. Yeah. And the only thing, I forget who said this on Twitter, as usual, said everything else you just said, Matt Schlapp, I think it was, who's a Republican. Oh, God.
Hey, he is one of the Brooks Brothers rioters. Let's not forget, he suppressed black votes in Florida.
Yes, he did. And his wife worked for Donald Trump in the White House. And they're just they're just loathsome, odious lizard people. But the idea that we're going to start impeaching people for lying is one that I hope catches on, because that could be that could change things just a little bit.
Let's go there.
Yeah. We do want to mention that John Kelly this week joined the board of the largest baby caging company in America. So, you know,
they're all profiting. John Corn, Texas, also is a recipient of largesse from private prison. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this is how they make their money.
Yep.
Flesh peddling.
So Donald Trump got to go overseas and represent America along with Jared and Ivanka.
Long brown strike over the Pacific as he was flying there. Yeah.
He marked his arrival in Japan for the G20 summit by lashing out at U.S. allies. He complained that if the U.S. were attacked, Japan would simply watch it on a Sony television instead of coming to America's defense. He called Germany a security freeloader, and he complained about India's new tariffs on U.S. goods.
Mm-hmm.
That was right the day after Mike Pompeo had smoothed things over with India.
Yeah.
And I watched quite a bit of Indian news coverage, and everyone was just baffled because they had one story Thursday that Mike Pompeo is talking to Indian officials. He's working it out, is going to work out. And the next day, Donald Trump sent a tweet and blew the whole thing up sky high. So
why wouldn't he? Robert Mueller has agreed to testify before the House Intelligence and Judiciary Committees in back-to-back public hearings on July 17th.
That's the day after my birthday.
Yes. Yeah. Happy birthday, Blue Guy.
Happy birthday.
Yay.
And Drift Class, you need to know this. My birthday is Amazon Prime Day.
Wow. Okay. I guess we're going to be watching, The Loudest Voice in the Loudest Voice in the Room. Is that right?
Sunday night. Yeah. The Sunday Loudest. Night. It's just called The Loudest Voice. It's
Loudest Voice.
Yeah. It's Roger Ailes. And it's
the Roger Ailes story.
The Roger Ailes story. Played by the guy from Gladiator, Russell Crowe.
Yeah. Russell Crowe. Yeah. He's trying to outdo Christian Bale. So I wish him all. And you know what? Great. This is the thing. Unless this is why this actually does tie to Robert Mueller.
Yeah.
Unless this shit is dramatized
right
in front of people, like we have reached that pre-literate stage of culture where honestly, unless you have stained glass windows explaining what the Bible means, mm-hmm, no one's going to read the goddamn book because we don't read long books because they're scary. Let's have that guy interpret it for us. In this case, that guy is Sean Hannity, who just lies all the time and is a racist asshole. So unless things are dramatized, their horror is just blows past people until it comes up behind them and they notice that their country is gone. So I'm very glad that they're making a miniseries out of the many horrors of that Roger Ailes has unleashed on this country.
Donald Trump told reporters that what he says to Putin in private is none of your business.
Look, he's my type, okay? And pillow talk between us is none of your goddamn business,
uh-huh,
okay? What happens between a man and the guy who's got a leash around him and his face in his crotch and he does it, that's private. That's all private. That's stuff that you have no business. And take anything he does, take a dart, take a pin, put it in any day in the calendar on anything Donald Trump does compared to anything any Democrat has done in your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republican Party would have already burned the White House to the ground.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
Any argument on behalf of anyone on the right that either the Republican Party is salvageable or Democrats owe it to them somehow to clean up their toxic mess in a way that suits them personally, that isn't personally offensive, that's more business friendly. You know, more center right is horseshit.
Mm-hmm.
You put on the goddamn hazmat suit and you get in there and fix it. And Tom Nichols' answer was, well, you know, unless they pay me a lecture fee, I'm not going to go and, you know, tell these people anything.
Well, it is obvious to me that the Democratic voters' appetite is for people who will talk like you.
Yes.
Not people who talk like Tom Nichols.
No. And so, except less fucks. Not that did disappoint me. Nobody said fuck during the debate yet.
Yet.
I still have hopes that some point someone's going to say, and this, I still recommend this for free to any Democratic candidate
for president. Yeah, you were recommending this last night to Joe Biden, actually.
I was. I said, if Joe Biden says this, he would solidify his floor at least. And the answer is, the statement is, none of us should be here tonight, which we've said before, because Hillary Clinton should be here. This should not be happening because Hillary Clinton should be president today. The election was stolen from her by the cheaters and liars and thugs and racists. And I'm running for president to get that son of a bitch out of our White House.
Yep.
And drop the mic.
Yeah.
You know, that's the statement. We got screwed last time. We all agree we got screwed last time. And I am personally committing to you that I will pry that monster the fuck out of the people's house.
And isn't it funny that the person that's come closest saying that is Jimmy Carter?
I know.
Yeah, well, seriously.
He's drunk all the time.
The EPA air chief resigned amid scrutiny over possible alleged violations of federal ethics rules. Do we still have federal ethics rules, Driftglass?
Well, sort of. They're ethics suggestions. Uh-huh. They're like those hang in there. Fridays on the Way kitten posters on the walls now. They're just like encouraging notions that you shouldn't violate the law. But if you ignore them, really, who cares? We're all looters here. We're all going to steal everything we can lay our hands on. So just the 11th commandment is don't get caught. And mm-hmm. now the 11th commandment has been repealed because Trump's been caught a million times. His kids have been caught a million times.
Kellyanne Conway's been caught on camera multiple times.
Yeah.
Right.
And the rule now is make sure you own the courts and you at least one house of the Senate, one half of the Senate, and no one will ever go to jail, no matter how awful they are. Donald Trump's protocol chief has been suspended indefinitely ahead of the G20 summit. Sean Lawler is his name. And he's being investigated by the State Department Inspector General over accusations that he intimidated his staff and carried a whip in the office.
Yeah, that was nice.
Gotta say, if I worked in this White House,
you'd carry a whip
for a day. I might just carry a whip around, but for entirely different reasons.
Jeff Bass, tell us about the local news items. They're very funny.
Oh, our local news is hilarious. The paper's full of happy, fun things and sad things and things that piss us off. But two things I wanted to bring to your attention, because this is where we live. So this is why we understand how the Republican Party behaves and don't need a Trump whisperer, a Republican whisperer, to tell us that this is a center-right country and Rush Limbaugh is irrelevant. We have a local radio show here on weekends called Let's Talk Guns.
Let's Talk Guns.
And it's just another radio show on a prominent local radio station. Also, our local Fox outlet is promoting the Laura Logan Investigates specials, a series. Now, you might remember Laura Logan as the woman who set fire to her promising career at CBS by lying about Benghazi, who should be on the scrap heap of history. But no, she has a job at Fox, because of course she does. And with a special report on how Mexican drug cartels control the entire southern U.S. border. And that's what happens on local news here in Republican Trump country. And secondly, there's a local op-ed in our paper.
Oh, this was an op-ed letter. Yes.
Op-ed letter. I'm sorry. But it is so reflective of many, 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 many people here that I know. Our paper is now the size of a twig. It's been stripped down to nothing. It's basically obituary sports and op-ed pages and a bunch of Associated Press articles. And this 70-year-old guy and his pals are canceling their subscription to our local paper because of the liberal bias and all the fake news.
All the liberal bias of the Associated Press. He right. name-checked right. the Associated Press as a liberal outlet. Yes.
Now, I don't know who this is personally, but I can tell you exactly what he thinks. He thinks that unless his local paper is a printed version of whatever came out of Tucker Carlson's mouth last night, it's part of the great liberal conspiracy. And he and his cranky, bigoted 70-year-old asshole friends, and I know the diner where they hang out.
Oh, yeah.
And I know what they talk about when they're there.
Right up the street.
I know these people. And I know that they're going to cancel their subscription because they are so far down the rat hole that they do not recognize how far down the rat hole they've fallen. This is just their life now.
And the irony is so many of them have state pensions and so many of them are on Social Security and Medicare and have nothing to help them survive. Their wives will be in a nursing home on Medicaid and they don't get it. They don't get it.
thanks to various forms of socialism.
Right.
And they don't know it and they don't care.
The food they buy in the diner to bitch over how liberal the Associated Press is paid for with socialism.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
But they deserve it, Blue Gal. The brown people don't, but they
earned
that.
Into it.
I earned this. I earned this, this earned omelet. This. Yeah. I earned these grits and gravy. God damn it. Anyway.
Each week for the past 500 weeks, we have posted to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is Zingo, and Zingo is upside down, but you'll see why. He's a very playful kitty. Zingo eats freshly poured cat food, the ever popular fake sponsor of this podcast. Whether you buy Pet Store Perfection or Dollar Store Dreck, your cat will sit on the kitchen floor and demand that the cat food they eat is only freshly poured. I'm not going to sing this week. Nah. I'm just not. But look, I'd like to hear from our listeners as to whether you need me to sing the jingle or not.
Or,
some people don't like it.
If you're a member
some
of
people
a,
like it.
If you're a member of a barbershop quartet or a men's chorus or a ladies chorus or a church choir, I want to give us a fully orchestrated version of this song. Go for it.
You can visit Zingo at our Facebook page or website, and you can send your internet kitty to us at our or other pet also. To us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, or you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service, Go Postal Unions, letter on the air, unless you say otherwise.
Hey, Blue Gal, guess what was in our P.O. box this week?
What?
Mail.
Mail.
Mail was in our P.O. box.
And if I can't guarantee that we'll be using voicemails every week, but if you'd like to call us, I will get your message. The Skype number is 217-280-4496. The outgoing message is a British Skype lady, but it is our number, and I will get your message. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. This is not charity. This is our job. It's also a labor of love. I will admit it. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details. Both our PayPal and postal address information is there at proleftpod.com. We have Both Sides Don't Merch there too. And
we do.
That's a good thing to get before the election gets really underway.
It's our hot item. You should really order lots of that for your family and friends.
Tote bags, t-shirts, bumper stickers, Both Sides Don't. Please share our show on social media, and thank you for doing that. Hey, Driftglass, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, the Internet Kitties wish to point out that 500 episodes is like 3,500 episodes in cat years.
Let's think about living. Let's think about loving. Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey-dovin'. Let's forget about the whine and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2018, DG BG Productions Incorporated.